The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Many of his disciples who heard this said, "This message is harsh. Who can hear it?" Jesus knew that the disciples were grumbling about this, and he said to them, "Does this offend you? What if you were to see the human one going up where he was before? The Spirit is the one who gives life, and the flesh doesn't help at all. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and life. Yet some of you don't believe." Jesus knew from the beginning who wouldn't believe and the one who would betray him. He said, "For this reason I said to you that none can come to me unless the Father enables them to do so." At this, many of his disciples turned away and no longer accompanied him. Jesus asked the 12, "Do you also want to leave?" Simon Peter answered, "Lord, where would we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are God's Holy One." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
I speak to you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Well, it's hard to believe that my time with you here at Good Shepherd is, as a supply priest for Becky, is coming to an end. It's been good to be back as a beach priest. So on Thursday, when I was serving here in the 1990s, I hardly got to the beach. And this was no different this month. But on Thursday, I decided it was time to drive over to the Causeway. I thought that would be the perfect place to work on my final sermon with you. It had rained earlier in the morning, so as I drove out into the Causeway, as the sun was coming up, there were large puddles and huge potholes. Have you been out there lately? Oh, there's like little swimming pools for the birds. Well, I found a parking place that had a bit of shade under a stand of palm trees. So I started my process of getting settled. I unpacked my beach chair. I got out my small cooler with some yogurt and fruit and a bottle of water. I had my journal with me and this week's bulletin with all the lectionary readings. And I was setting up shop. I felt a bit of a sprinkle, and I didn't pay too much attention to that. But as I sat down in my beach chair, I got to tell you, it's a really special beach chair. It's got an overhead shade. So that comes in really handy, and especially came in handy on Thursday. Because all of a sudden, I'm sitting there, and I hear bing, 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 thud, thud, thud. And the birds were dropping berries on the... And I thought, I guess they don't like me parking here today. And so I was being bombarded by air when the ground troops arrived. And here they came. Yeah, 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 yeah. I'm like, I don't think I'm going to get much sermon writing done today. But it got me thinking how easily we're distracted, even when we're intentional about trying to do the work that has been set before us. Just as I was distracted at the beach, I can just as easily be distracted at home. I get little notifications on my iPhone. I don't know if any of you do. And it seems like for the last couple years, every day there's breaking news several times a day. And there's breaking news breaking into breaking news. And I'm often tempted to turn on the TV just to catch up on what's going on. But then it's easy. You know, you hear one interview and then you hear another interview and all of a sudden, you know, you're sitting there not getting done what you wanted to do. But one thing about this past month living in the rectory, Ted and I, when we got here, It's very easy to just want to set up everything, and so we were going to figure out how to use the TV in the rectory. Well, let me tell you, Becky's got some system set up. You have to run it through a computer, through some kind of who knows what to get to who knows where, and have different passwords every step of the journey. I hated to do it, but we even called Becky like, God, we have no clue what to do. So she tried to walk us through it, but finally we kind of gave up. And I said, you know, usually when I go on retreat, there's no TV going on. So I said, why don't we just try and live without TV for the month? Well, that kind of worked. I mean, yesterday was the first time we were able to get a television program on. And that's because Ted spent about an hour talking to the cable people because he wanted to watch the Little League World Series. Georgia was playing Hawaii. And so he was determined on the last day we were going to get to watch a TV show. Now, I will say, we kind of cheated a little bit. We both had iPhones, so we could get Spectrum on our iPads and iPhones, so that helped a little bit. But pretty much, we tried to do without television. Well, that gave us a lot of time to think and to talk and have conversations. And it became like a time of discernment for Ted and I. And for that, we'll be forever grateful. We had time to talk and share that normally we'd just be plopped in front of the TV shows we usually watch. And all this leads into my reflection on today's scripture readings, because they speak to me of discernment, deciding who we are to follow and how we're going to live our lives. Now, throughout the ages, peoples have had to choose their loyalties, who they would follow, and our age is no different. In our Old Testament lesson from Joshua, we hear that Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel and summoned all the leaders and said to them, "Choose this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." He rallied the people to serve the one true God of Israel and to put aside all the other gods that they were serving. It truly was a decision time for the people of Israel. And then in today's gospel lesson, it was decision time for the disciples. They had heard Jesus' teachings, and it was time for them to decide whether they would continue to follow Jesus, whether they believed that he truly was the living bread, the bread came down from heaven, and who had the words of eternal life. Now, often this sixth chapter of John is seen as the turning point in John's gospel. That's when some of the disciples start to fall away and others recommit their lives to following Jesus. Jesus looked at those who remained, and especially he looked to the 12 and said, "Do you also wish to go away?" Simon Peter answered for them, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God." It was decision time, and the 12 decided to continue on their journey with Jesus. So I was thinking this week, how would we respond if we had to answer to someone, if someone asked us, "Who do you follow?" I mean, maybe some of us here would say, well, you know, we follow the teachings of the Episcopal Church. We appreciate the leadership of our presiding bishop, Michael Curry, and that's kind of the tradition that we follow. Others may have a more political path. You may be following a particular party or a certain politician or civic leader. And so if someone asks you, who are you following, you may mention the name of a person or a party. Maybe some of you are civic-minded. You know, perhaps you belong to Rotary or the library or another club and say, I'm really committed to building up the library or to doing the work of the Rotary Club. So our response kind of tells us where our loyalties lie and who we've decided to follow. So I invite you to ask yourself, where does your loyalty lie? To our country, to our church, our employers, our family? What is the cause that draws us? As Christians, our response could be that we follow Jesus Christ. For many of us, the decision to become a Christian was made for us at our baptism. Perhaps as infants, our parents and godparents made promises on our behalf that they would raise us in the faith of Jesus Christ so that we could come to know and believe that Jesus is the Lord and that we would become followers of Christ. So who made your decision about religion? Was it your parents, your teachers, your family, your friends? At some point, I know you've chosen to be here this morning, so there must be something drawing you here. One of my favorite theologians, Karl Rahner, puts it this way. He teaches that God gives each of us a fundamental option to turn at some point in our life to turn toward God or away from God. It's a choice that we make. It's not something that someone tells us to do, or it could be, I don't know. Often we make the choice to be Christians based on our experience of other Christians rather than our relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, I know plenty of people that would say, well, I left Christianity because, boy, at my church, there was a bunch of hypocrites. Or there was a certain priest that really ticked me off with her sermon. Or maybe somebody was upset about something going on in their congregation. I know at this time, several of my Roman Catholic friends are really struggling with the whole sexual abuse disclosure and how prevalent it was. What do they do? Do they stay? Do they leave? Where can they put their trust? To trust an institution, that can be a wobbly thing. Because really, an institution's role is to lead us into a true relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, for most of us gathered here this morning, I know you could be out boating or playing golf or catching up on your sleep or maybe getting on some beach time, but you've chosen to come to church. I don't know if you're here out of a sense of duty that you felt you had to put in your time. You know, what's 1 or 2 hours a week? I guess I can do that. Or maybe out of guilt. Maybe somebody's told you, if you don't go to church, something bad's going to happen. And then if you die, you might go to hell. Or perhaps you're here because your mom or dad or husband or wife dragged you to come. Whatever your reason, you're here. And as we gather together to celebrate the Holy Eucharist, we're not here just to follow an ancient tradition or carry out a contemporary ritual. We're here to recommit our lives to Jesus Christ and to eat of the bread of life in Holy Communion. We're using this time of worship to discern, what is Jesus calling us to do? We're here to leave behind the distractions of the world and to ask God to give us God's vision for our lives. For when we're clear about God's vision for us, the rest of our lives will fall into place. So how do we come to clarity of vision? First, we need to reduce the outside distractions. You know, it's so easy to fall into the habit of checking our iPhones or turning on the TV as soon as we get home. Isn't it hard to even imagine a world without electronics? You know, that's only in the last century. Before that, people looked to nature and work and community gatherings and quilting bees and barn raising and all those things. They weren't attached to electronics. And not that it's bad, but when we get so distracted by them, we never have any quiet time to really think and ponder and imagine. But if we choose to quiet our phones and TVs, maybe for a few minutes, a few hours, maybe even a day or two, a week, a month, we can begin to enter into a world of silence. And that helps us quiet our minds and hearts and allows us to listen to God, to really listen in the stillness of our hearts. And also, besides the outside distractions, we have internal distractions. Now, I shared with you, my husband and I are going to be buying and selling houses, and our to-do list went from like this to like this in the past week. There are endless to-do lists. I've been dreaming about to-do lists in my sleep and writing them down when I wake up. And we all have worries and concerns, whatever it may be, that keeps us from quieting our inner self. That's a very hard task. It takes some practice, but it is possible. Now, many years ago when I lived in Delaware, I used to make it a practice to go on an annual 3-day quiet retreat at St. Margaret's House in Germantown in Philadelphia. My spiritual director, Sister Adele Marie, would invite me to spend that time in a holy silence. So on the first day, she would ask me to leave behind any worries or concerns and to focus on what God might have to say to me during the time of retreat. The second day, I would check in, and she would ask if I was able to quiet my mind, or was I still just talking to myself? I don't know about you, but I have some very interesting conversations with myself. I can keep up both sides of the conversation, maybe even a whole small group. By the third day, she would say, in the quietness, in the silence, what have you heard God saying to you? And were you listening? Really listening with your heart? I guess for me, being an extrovert, it probably takes 3 days to get that quiet. But the process really does work. Now, you may not be able to go away on a 3-day silent retreat, but you can find time to start practicing listening to God, speaking to you. And you can do this by eliminating outside distractions and giving yourself the time and space to be with God. And in that quietness, ask God to give you God's vision for your life. You may really be surprised. I invite you, I encourage you to ask God to be your vision and ask God what joy is in store for you this day and always. Amen.